Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Deanna Potter, and I'm your host for today's edition of Sassy Sales and Business Development. With me today is our leading lady, Bonnie Kaploff, and she is going to be joining us today, and she is with BRK Consulting. Welcome and good morning, Bonnie. I want to thank you so much for being our guest.
Good morning, Deanna. Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. Our topic today with Sassy Sales and Business Development is from little girls to leaders in the hardcore world of business. And, you know, the hardcore world of business can be everything from banking to finance to real estate development. Those are great examples. But I have to believe that you come from one of the most hardcore examples of business, and that is the biotech and pharmaceutical development industry. I'll tell you, girl, just thinking about how competitive it is and the experience that you've had over the last 20 years, it's mind-boggling. And I know that I've had the opportunity to talk to you a bit before our interview today, and it's so impressive your background and where you've come from. And I'm excited today to have you share with our listeners a lot of the experiences that you've had and where you've been and where you've come from. Some of what you've shared with me is that, you know, during your time, you've generated tremendously successful cost savings specific to quality compliance. And I know the quality compliance industry within the biotech and pharmaceutical world is something that's a bit of a challenge. And especially because, you know, you're kind of always fighting the people that are trying to move forward and generate the money, and you're kind of pulling back the reins going, come on, guys, hold on. There's regulations. There's things. You're kind of fighting against that momentum. And a lot of those times it forces you to kind of have to come to the table and have to achieve objectives that are sometimes against what other individuals might want to be trying to achieve. There's kind of that battle. Can you tell me what are two or three of the key fundamentals that you focus on in order to achieve your objective when you have to come to the table against individuals that may not be on the same page with you?
You know, the two key fundamentals that I focus on to ensure my objectives are met, really keeping an open mind and being flexible, willingness to step outside your comfort zone by listening to other opinions and feedbacks, not also keeping a focus on your deliverables. I believe that everyone, you know, works for the same goals, but sometimes the execution and delivery and how to get to those goals is different, more than one way of doing things. Even though in the biotech pharmaceutical industry we're very heavily regulated, there's certain rules and regulations that we have to abide by, you know, I think there are different ways of meeting those objectives in more than one ways. And I think having that, being resilient is very important, and having that flexibility to provide feedback and also get feedback in terms of, you know, like I said, there are more than one ways of, you know, meeting your objectives at times. So I think that is very important.
So tell me, over the course of your career, and I know that you had mentioned to me, and it was so educational for me, when you started, I think it was back in 1990, you used a term, a biotech term, but basically you explained to me, you started in what was called a one-drug company, correct?
Yes, so one drug pipeline startup companies, which a lot of the biotechs are, one drug in the pipeline. Absolutely.
What made it easier to be a one drug company versus where things kind of evolved to today?
I think it's a lot more difficult because of the challenges in terms of if you have multiple drugs in the pipeline. You know, you have more opportunities for advancement in terms of your drugs being approved on the market, but being a one-drug pipeline company, I mean, that's it. That's all your eggs are in one basket. And so if it doesn't get approval, then, you know, you're in a predicament. So okay. I think.
So tell me, because the reason I'm thinking about that is it comes down to whether or not you're looking at a corporation or even a small business. It's all about diversifying, having more products, being able to kind of not have to get stuck with all your eggs in one basket, it sounds like, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. And the challenges of being a small biotech company also is being purchased and merged with bigger pharma companies who have diversity and multiple products in their pipeline. And so that is also a challenge, you know. The great thing about having a one-drug company is a lot of the companies that I was able to be fortunate enough to work at were treatments for diabetes and lupus, which is debilitating diseases for a lot of these people. And to have that drug approved and go through that process and having people benefit from it, patients benefit from the therapeutics is makes it worthwhile.
Gotcha. Oh, I can only imagine.
Yes.
So believe it or not, my question brings me back to my original inquiry. Did you find that when you were sitting at that table with individuals and maybe people weren't on the same page, when you were working at those one drug companies, when you only had one product and that one product the entire company was kind of riding on, were the challenges and the conflicts you were running into harder and more difficult? And was there more emotion involved in it because kind of all the eggs were in one basket versus as you went through your career and you were with companies that had, we'll call them products in this example, multiple sitting on the table, there was the ability to kind of, give and take more because you had more flexibility about what you could work on?
It depends on also the, having all your eggs in one basket. You can focus on that product and from inception to marketing, all the way. Having multiple products in a company also is challenging because you are representing in your, the different products and projects that go with the products. And so your focus could be on different areas and not just one area. So having multiple products also is, could be more challenging in terms of, not being able to focus in one area and having multiple projects and juggling that, those multiple projects.
Gotcha. So a lot of what we talk about here with Connected Women of Influence and Women Leading Way Radio, we talk a lot about the idea of us being able, as we're women in business and we're moving through our careers and we're building our businesses, female role models. Have you been lucky enough to have female role models during your career?
I have been fortunate enough to benefit from solid mentoring from females early on in my career. And also later
really?
In my career, absolutely.
Oh, please tell us about that and how they shaped you and impacted your growth.
I think a good mentor provides both feedback in terms of, both constructive and complimentary feedback. I believe from what I've learned from my mentors, the three things that I've really taken to heart for all these years is really the willingness to learn and be open-minded with not only people but science as well. Take thoughtful risks. Get out of your comfort zone in terms of, and also being a good leader, you need to be a good team player. You need to understand both sides of the fence. I've had my early mentor back in the 90s, she is a successful consultant now, working for big pharma companies. My mentor from my previous company, the Amlin Pharmaceuticals, she is leading a quality organization for the Americas for a big pharma company. So just seeing that, how they still progress through all these years, really makes them that solid, gives them that solid.
Wow.
So
tell me, it's interesting to me because, we often hear a lot of feedback, and I'm not sure, I have my opinion, we've all heard a lot of opinions, but I'm interested in yours. Often we hear from women say that they did have a woman in the leadership position or that role above them, and that she was not supportive. In fact, she may have even been harsh to them. Have you seen that or experienced it, and why do you think that can be the case?
I have seen some of that in the business world. I think a lot of it is that especially women who have been rising through the ranks for years, did not have a mentor themselves. It's a pretty male-dominant world, and not having a female mentor help you guide through the ranks, I think maybe they may not know how to how to guide others, or maybe they feel threatened by competition from other females or jealousy. But with that said, I think a good leader, whether you're a male or female, it's important to look beyond that and help others rise through the ranks, and you know, because they know the adversity and how hard it was to get where they are. And it's still hard for women. You know, even though women have come a long way in the years, it's still hard to be in a leadership position and being respected, you know, in a male-dominant world.
And tell me, looking back in, let's say, 1990 when you started in your industry, where did you mostly see women and what departments were there?
You know, back in the 90s, I mean, there were, you know, there were women in leadership, middle management. I've seen the ones that were more in the director level were more supportive administrative, like your HRs and your finance. Looking 20 years ahead, I've seen, you know, women, big pharma, you know, have you know, management over major divisions, the VPs, directors. It's really gone, you know, like I said, my previous director, she managed the whole quality group, you know. And when I started Amlin in 2005, our CEO was a female. She was a dynamic individual who was well respected by, you know, male and female colleagues and subordinates. And so that, you know, was really hard in terms of being able to, you know, identify with this person who's leading this, you know, biotech company for therapeutics.
Yeah, yeah. I know when you and I have spoken in the past, you've talked a lot about your time that you spent at Amlin. And about the mentor program there and how impressive it was that it was a very core principle, it sounds like, for you there. And you really attribute a lot of your growth from your career standpoint and the mentoring that you received from that. And can you talk a little bit about what that looked like for you and what you gained from that?
Sure. I mean, I believe that it's important to have support systems within an organization to help women stay in their careers, move up. I mean, you know, women have come a long way, but, you know, they still are trying to manage that work-life balance with the family, taking care of the family, and building a career. At Amlin, they had a group called Arrow, which was Amlin women reaching out to women. So what it was an organization that fostered a sense of community among women who worked at Amlin. You know, influences professional development of women at Amlin, facilitating an exchange of ideas, creating network opportunities. The great thing about that was that program was not only did it help educate women, but also men in that company. There was surprisingly a lot of men who attended a lot of those speaking events and you know, a lot of the executives.
Male
at Amlin, so I think that not only that foster that environment for women, but also educate men on how far women have come along the way.
You know, that is something I have not heard. I've been doing this radio for quite some time. We often will hear about, you know, some mentoring opportunities and things like that. You are the first person that has said to me they've had exposure to a mentoring program, it supported women in business, and that there was a good significant number of men participating. That's really wonderful to hear, and I have to tell you, I haven't heard that before.
Really?
That's really, really good to hear.
That's nice.
This is the first time. Yay, good. That's wonderful. Yay.
Absolutely, right?
Yay. Good. I was really very impressed with some of the numbers that you shared with me around quality compliance. Let's talk a little bit about that specifically. I know that when you were talking about some of the tremendous gains financially, some of the results that were achieved in your company, that your quality compliance department really, really shined. And
yes.
I was amazed at some of the tremendous, diligent, detailed work that quality compliance does, and just the impressive amount of dollars that you brought back in. But along with that work, it was it came with some pros and cons. It came with some of the pros, obviously, being the success that you showed in your department and some of the accolades that you received. But it also came with some image issues sometimes along the way, you mentioned to me. And that often in business, we find ourselves fighting against labels for image issues, especially as women. And sometimes I think personally that we can often, maybe sometimes, create them ourselves. And sometimes they are stereotypes that have grown over time. You shared with me, as I mentioned, that you and your department had an image issue at times, and being in quality compliance, that you were seen sometimes as the police. policing projects or policing regulations in the company and so forth. Can you share with me and share with us how you combated this image issue and how, your opinion, we as women can do the same as individuals in business?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the key to that, you know, to help combat some of these image issues is really education and providing insight, being in quality, like you said, being the police. You know, we're bound by regulations, and it's, you know, we don't make the rules. We just kind of police them, right? But it's, I think a lot of it's in your delivery in terms of how you communicate and how you provide that education. You know, I think seeing, getting a different perspective, I think is very important in terms of just not just why we do it, but how and the what to get that, you know, because a lot of people are, they don't know, and what they don't know, they, you know, they build a defense on. I think success on any project would be, you know, I think first and foremost is having, defining and having clear objectives, goals, and deliverables. I mean, making sure everybody's on the same page and knowing what their expectations are. I think having, you know, cross-functional department representation is really important in terms, and not only that, but also having the right people on your team, you know, with the appropriate experience and knowledge. I think that is very important. Buy-in from senior and support from senior management, I notice, is a big deal in terms of, you know, being empowered to make those decisions in team meetings, having that support of leadership. Also, broad strategic perspective. In other words, seeing the big picture, I think will help guide towards that same goal. You know, a lot of people work silo in their departments, so they don't see that overall big picture. But I think having that broad perspective, I think helps.
Wow. So many good points in there that I had a question on the first one and the second one. Now I got a third one. Okay, so I love it. That was all so good. You know, it makes me think of several examples we've had over some of our CWI executive forum panels over the several months. And you mentioned in particular, you know, high-level support. And
yes,
we've talked a lot as an organization about some of the CEOs that come in and say, you know what, we didn't realize that we needed this. And implementing programs around, you know, programs for women and, you know, bringing awareness around, you know, implementing and strategically putting in place programs that highlight women professionals and the skills and so forth. And I loved the fact that you talked about cross-functional and cross-support with departments, I think it was.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that, because I know your projects that you've talked about involved different teams, correct? Departments,
yes,
coming together. So was it more, I mean, sometimes that's required, but it almost sounds like you had situations where maybe a team or a department didn't have to be there, but you included them anyways just to make sure they were part of the process and they understood all facets. Is that what you meant by that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were some that more and more systems. So you had your IT to maintain and support your systems upgrade. And but you, like I said, we talked about that broad strategic perspective. You know, there were others that were more FYI informed that, you know, they need to know the bigger picture because maybe not in this project, but eventually down the line somewhere they're going to be involved or they want that understanding. So absolutely, getting feedback and perspective from others maybe outside of, you know, because you're working so closely within a project, also helps a lot.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've talked all the good stuff. This is all great, but it's not always good. I know it's not. So I want to talk a little bit about conflict resolution because I know darn well, like everybody else on this phone, that there are meetings and you walk out of and you go, somebody just, I don't care if it's 10 in the morning, take me straight to the happy hour because I can't take the rest of the day. So let's just talk it out here. Talk to me about you're sitting in those conference rooms, you walk out, and it just didn't go well. Whether it was you lost the debate or the one person across the table, you just wanted to reach across and kill them, and you tried all of the techniques you talked about. You tried the education. You tried to give them the background. You tried to look at their side of the fence. You did everything you could, and it didn't go well. And, you know, how do you deal with it? And how do you work through that process? And, you know, where do you take it? How do you handle those moments? Because everyone on this call, I know we've all dealt with it. And how do you find that there are just times when you've got somebody in that other department or on that team that just isn't playing nice? And where do you go on those days? And how have you dealt with it in the past? Or how do you help when you've got a team member that's representing you and they come to you and say, you know what, I'm struggling. Help me deal with and help me get through to this person on this project.
Okay, so you know, I think there are certain areas, and like I said before, I think education and providing different perspective insight, you know, sometimes that, you know, may not work also. But I think being, you know, and I think some women do put too much pressure on themselves about being good at everything all the time to keep up the image, right? And you know,
amen.
Being the best you, I mean, a good track record of success in terms of developing people and your goals speaks volumes. And I think it will get you the respect from others in terms of, you know, being, like I said, the willingness to step outside your comfort zone also, taking risks, trying new things. Some may not be successful, but it's how you deal with them and how you move forward to be the better, you know, to make it better also. I think being passionate about what you do also is really important. And I think if you love your work, you know, it'll show. And, you know, your contributions can change the outcomes. And I think it's just how you can, you know, like I said, it's in the delivery of your execution. You know, I think we all have towards the same goals. It's getting medicines out to patients in need, right? So whatever your conflicts may be, and, you know, we really don't want to take focus off what the bottom line is. And that bottom line, especially in the biotech pharma, is getting, you know, much-needed medicines out to people who are really sick and need them.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Kate, continue. Yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead. I think being optimistic but grounded. I mean, there's going to be disappointments, but like I said, you can learn and grow from them. And, you know, loving what you do really increases your odds of succeeding at it. And I think others will see it, and I think you can be a reflection, and you know, and that enthusiasm will bring others in. I believe in that.
Optimistic but grounded. I absolutely love your answer. That is so good. So good. Good, good, good. All right. So I mentioned to you before, as a women's radio show, we like to touch on the unique challenges we sometimes face as women in business specific to our interaction with men. As I mentioned, we love men. We love them. But I am curious, have you had any experiences in which you felt that the outcome to an opportunity was different for you because you were a woman in the situation?
You know, I have to say, early on in my career, I've been in situations where maybe an opportunity and outcome was different working with men. You know, I think back then we weren't respected, you know, as their equals. 20 years ahead, I've seen definitely a shift where the focus is, like I said, more on the results. Successful leaders, male or female, they own the results. They take accountability, open to feedback. You know, that builds the values in their products and company and also in their own career. So I've definitely seen a shift in where, like I said, you know, in my last even 10 years, you know, there have been a lot of executive women in science, and not only in, like I said, in the supportive roles, but more in the leading product, your product development, your quality, your major decision-making roles, female leadership. So I think that shift is really changing, and a lot of it's education and, you know, and commitment of women.
So you mentioned something that I want to go back to real quickly. You said sometimes we still are too hard on ourselves or think we have to be perfect. Do you think that we are still today trying to do too much of all of it between the children and the home and the business?
I think now that we have more support from men at home than we did, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So I think it's a little easier for women. I think, like I said, you know, they put the pressure on themselves. But, yes, society is still, you know, a lot of pressure is still on the women. But I've seen a change in, you know, your Mr. Dads, you know, your stay-at-home dads and the women in the, you know, and I've seen it in, you know, my last two companies where there were dads who stayed home and take care of the children while the women, you know, were the breadwinner of the family.
Yeah, yeah.
So I definitely see a shift in that.
Do you have any advice on what do you think we as women can do better to continue to blaze a trail forward for the next generation of women coming forward? I know your daughter Madison's heading off to college.
Yes.
She will, in the very near future, be a working woman. And, you know, what do you think we can do better to continue to you know, lead that change in the positive direction?
I would say, you know, the first thing would be set long-term career goals for yourself. I mean, you know, a lot of women have these pie-in-the-sky dreams. Set those pie-in-the-sky dreams. It may take 10 years, 15 years, but if you have something to look forward towards, you know, like I said, be passionate about what you do. And, you know, really the fact that, you know, your contributions can change the outcomes of, you know, whatever your goal is. You know, I mean, focus on how you can advance progress to those goals and look for outcomes and ways to innovate. And I think helping other women, you know, mentoring, being a good mentor if you have been in the business for a long time, or finding a good mentor, I think is very important. I've had that, the benefit from having a good mentor that, you know, to these days I still have, you know, what they've told me and what I've learned from, and I still take what they've told me, and not even only in my career, but in my everyday personal life too. You know, I try to live by those mantras.
Outstanding. Well, Bonnie, I have had the outstanding opportunity of not only knowing you personally, and I'm very happy to say that, but in having done preparation for this, I've talked to people who have worked with you and for you, and everyone speaks so highly of what you do, the leader you are, and the knowledge you have for quality compliance in the pharmaceutical industry is bar none. There is no doubt you are a guru and an expert at what you do. So with BRK Consulting, I know that you do outstanding consulting work, and I want to give individuals the opportunity to talk to you and reach out to you should they want to work for you, hire you, or want to contact you and ask you more about your expertise and your knowledge about the industry, or just simply have questions about our topic today. What is the best way for them to contact you? Would you like to give out your information today?
Yeah, sure. My email address is brkconsulting@yahoo.com. Also, I'm working on my website, so it's getting there, but I'm also on LinkedIn, where I can have there's contact information through there also.
Great. And I just want to make sure everyone heard that's B as in Bonnie, R as in, I don't even know what's your middle name, sweetheart?
Ray.
Ray. Okay, there we go. R as in Ray. K as in Kaploff, and that's K-A-P as in Paul, I-L-O-S-S. And I can't thank you enough for joining us today. It has been my pleasure. I think our theme today and our core values, as we heard, education, 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 definitely looking at both sides of the fence. And at the end of the day, I'll tell you, I'm certainly glad that we have you as an expert. I don't want anything to do with the biotech industry, but as long as we have leaders and educational, strong women like you leading the way, I think we're in good shape. So, Bonnie, thank you for joining us today. Ladies, gentlemen, anyone listening in, this is Sassy Sales and Business Development. I'm your host, Deanna Potter. Please join us each month for these lovely business topics, and don't miss out on next month as well. Everyone have a fabulous 4th of July, and God bless everybody, and God bless America.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.